Hi, I'm Iman.
And I'm Kurt.
And this is Rebranding Mental Health. Well, good morning, Kurt. We are back in the studio.
Good morning.
It's good to be back.
It is.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's really gorgeous outside. That really helps.
It is. The humidity is low. So I'm not going to complain about the heat because I'm not a big fan of that cold.
I'm not a fan of winter either.
But I am a fan of living, so I have to be grateful and remind myself when it's like 20 below zero, I'm alive.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but I do try to do that. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest, it doesn't always work.
Easier said than done, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, good to have you back. I'm glad that we got back into the studio. We got a little busy and we're really committed to Rebranding Mental Health Podcast and just getting this rolling. But like with any endeavor, it takes a little bit to build that momentum and we're doing it.
That's right.
Yeah. So today we are going to be talking about values. Values just seems to be one of those words that has become maybe overused, but really using and values as a means for self-knowledge, of understanding like what's important to us. And this is really a GPS, so to speak, or the foundation for making decisions in our lives, not just tangible decisions, but also when we find ourselves feeling something that just is elongated and we keep feeling it, or we find ourselves thinking thoughts that are unpleasant or negative, we can go back to our values and have this recipe for saying, hey, is this in alignment with what's important to me? And if it's not, again, easier in theory, difficult in practice, but it helps us from overthinking and from getting too caught into, oh, what does this mean for some of us who have those kinds of challenges? And really just talking about this activity that I introduce with my clients, but also that I think would be an excellent part of this curriculum that we'll be talking about more in other episodes, but just in rebranding mental health, educating people as young as, you know, who can read. And even before that, just educating them on what's important to you and using that as a guide to make your decisions.
I really love that. I love talking about values, and it's because of what you had just said, how foundational it is, how it's always this thing that you can come back to when you're not sure or when you're in, you know, an uncomfortable kind of a feeling or situation. It reminds me a lot of meditation, how in meditation, the goal is always to sort of, you know, bring your attention back, your focus back to breathing. Mm-hmm. I feel like values does that very similarly. You know, anytime you're in a situation you're not really sure what to do, or you're feeling distracted, or you're feeling pulled away from the direction you want to go, it's this thing you can always turn your direction back to, turn your attention back to.
Exactly. And that's really what it is about, is changing your focus, being intentional about what you're paying attention to, and those values help you. So in talking about that, in my work with clients, I present almost all my clients, except if they're quite young, but I present to them an activity that I modified and edited from an activity that I did years and years ago when I was in sales. It was a leadership workshop, but I designed it more for these purposes of really understanding, like, who am I right now? Like what, and I say that because, look, values change from time to time. What you valued when you were 12 is different than what you may value when you are 35 and you're starting a family or whatever. And so even after major transitions, milestones, or stressful, like after the pandemic, I had a lot of clients go back to their values because they seemed to be getting re-triggered or things were coming up again. And so it was like, okay, well, what do we need to do? let's reground ourselves. And this values activity is really helpful. So for the sake of time, I won't go into great detail of how it's done, but just in general, it's a paper kind of activity, which is very helpful. You know, whenever we're writing, it really triggers more activity in the brain. And there's research that suggests that when you're writing goals down or writing things, it has more of a longevity, you know, the brain pays more attention. And there's some basic guidelines. And I really am very adamant about explaining to people that, look, these aren't rules. Okay. So you take what works for you and what doesn't. And if you get stuck in any way, then we'll work through it together. But they work through the activity, look at some words, circle them, then group the words together, and then come up with five values, which sounds like, wow, how do I do that with all these words when you see the activity? But it's really transformational, so to speak, when they really get to that. And again, I help them, you know, if they're having trouble grouping it. But the next step is that we define what those words mean to them. Because guess what? We've been living in a society that some people define honesty differently. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely.
And I won't go into detail about that. But it's important that you know what you mean if truth, honesty, love, if that is your value, what does that mean to you? Because you could meet someone or get involved in an organization that you think has a similar value, but they define it differently, and that's going to create tension. And so really taking some time to define what that means to you, solidify it, and then once you have that, then we go through, are you living to this value internally and externally? So what does that mean? Externally, are you surrounding yourself in environments that align with your value as much as you can control? Because sometimes there are certain things beyond that. But then are you doing it internally? And so what that means is, are your feelings, are your thoughts, are your behaviors, you know, your tangible decisions, are those in alignment with your values? And it's pretty interesting because there's often areas where people aren't aligned, whether it's internally, externally, and that's really the source of the stress that they're experiencing in their life. Mm-hmm. So when they simply make a different choice, you know, Tony Robbins, are you familiar with Tony Robbins' work?
I am.
Yeah. I've always been drawn to him. I just think his personality and his presence, his physical presence alone is just so giant, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the titles of his book, Awaken the Giant Within, I think it was called. But anyway, I've been listening to him again just recently, and he talks about how it's not so much our circumstances, but it's the choices that we make. We could be in any circumstance, but at any given point in our life, we can look and say, if I would have made a different choice. I mean, we don't know if it would be better or worse, the outcome, but it's our choices that determine our life. And so in reference to, you know, these values, when people go through and say, whoa, I'm not really choosing in alignment with my values, no wonder I feel like this. It's that simple. In theory. So going back to this values activity, you know, I'd like to hear a little bit, just your experience. You did it. Mm-hmm. And just how it was for you and how, you know, it helped you and how maybe you were challenged by it at times.
Sure. And this is something that I do hope to be able to share with our audience during this podcast, is my experiences sort of in a, you know, from the client perspective. Mm-hmm. And this was really one of the most powerful activities that we did together. It was one of the first things that we did together. And what I really loved about it is the fact that we talk about rebranding mental health, right? I think one of the biggest things that needs to sort of be rebranded is this idea that mental health is for when something's wrong. Or that it's for trying to get away from things that you don't want to have to feel or experience, right? So for a lot of people, you come into a therapy session because you are feeling an unpleasant emotion, or you're in an unpleasant situation that you feel like you need help to navigate. And those are great things, right? Those are good reasons to seek out help.
Or, excuse me, I feel like it's important. Or you are, I hesitate to use the word force. We know how I am with words, but you are led to, you know, it's been suggested strongly and firmly that you get some tools.
Right. There you go.
Sometimes people come in really not believing in the process at all, but feel like, I'm supposed to be here.
That's a really good point. Yeah. That's a very good point. So yeah, so maybe you've got those reasons for coming in. But what I would suggest, honestly, the power of therapy is not just trying to get away from those negative experiences or feelings or what have you. It's moving towards what you want. And having a good life, to me, really means moving towards the things that you want, you know, displaying the values that you have. It's not just not feeling what you don't want to feel. It's experiencing what you want to experience. And that was what was so great about this activity, because I think for a lot of us, we do go in so heavily focused on that getting away from something that you're forgetting that there are things you want to move towards.
Thank you for that. 'Cause Kurt, that is really... that's what it's all about. And I think, you know, it goes back to, again, the rebranding concept of really approaching this work, you know, mental health, total well-being, addressing it all, you know, and whether you're making choices about your physical body, whether you're making choices about your job, whether you're making your choices about your friendships and your relationships, there needs to be a general basis of understanding, a framework for which you're making decisions, because when there's not, there's some really great research that a psychologist out of the University of Virginia, Timothy Wilson, has been researching basically the gaps between what we think we know and what we actually know. So basically self-knowledge. And he's really gained some international recognition for this groundbreaking research that explores the limits and the biases of our self-knowledge and our happiness and social cognition. So when we don't have a clear understanding and we think that we know ourselves, and then we start to make decisions based off of that, through this research, we find that we really don't. When we're not actively learning about ourselves in an intentional, conscious way, like through an activity like this, chances are we're making decisions based off of what we think we know rather than what we actually know. And that's really like, man, that's amazing to me. There's a lot of great research, you know, that was done just on, there was a study out of Sweden where they presented two pictures of an attractive woman to these participants, and they were asked to choose which one they found was more attractive and then provide an explanation why. And then what happened later was that the researchers went back and they presented the pictures, and to some of the participants, they presented the opposite picture of what they chose. And many times the participants didn't even catch that. Instead, they went on to explain why they thought they chose that picture and gave very detailed reasons that were opposite to what they get. So it's like, it's wow. You know, it kind of makes me feel, and he even said this, I was listening to a podcast that he was on, Hidden Brain, and he was like, we're not really dumb. Okay. I'm not saying we're dumb, and I'm not saying that introspection is not, you know, important, but there just needs to be a basic understanding of how we make decisions and where sometimes we underestimate or overestimate ourselves. So going back to rebranding, this is part of what is necessary in teaching in an education curriculum, whether it's in the schools, in an organization. I mean, hopefully, I like to say it starts in the schools because that's where we learn how to be, and in our homes. But if we don't have access to all that in our homes, then education, teaching us about how our brain makes decisions, and then giving us the tools and giving some interventions and some strategies to make better decisions. That's where the values activity comes in.
That's so powerful.
I think so too. I think so too. And why not increase our quality of life by just making better decisions? And, you know, we're not always going to get it correct. However, if we can be more aware of all of these things, of how our brain works and how our biases, you know, may interfere, or our blind spots, so to speak, may interfere with our decision making, we're just more equipped to make more helpful decisions.
And we can always come back to that too. And that's one of the things I like about the values activity is I think it's a great reset activity. When you're not really sure where to go next. And I can't tell you, I kept that sheet actually that we used, and I can't tell you how many times I've gone back to it and said, all right, I feel like this is a time I need to go back, reassess, reset. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at this again and see where am I right now for this particular situation. And it really is a very powerful activity. I'm so glad it's one that you choose to do right away.
Well, yeah, it just seems like that's the best place to start. And I really appreciate you sharing your personal experience with that, because it's really valuable. And it's helpful to hear, you know, just how helpful it was for you. So those values and understanding our values and understanding what's important to us is really what our topic is today, and really seeking that out and making sure that it becomes a part of this rebranding mental health and putting this into an educational form that we all can understand. So thanks for being with us today, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.